Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It's time to get classy.
Oh, so classy.
Where do we start?
I don't know.
But I don't really have anything to talk about.
Here's my gripe, I guess. Here's my big takeaway from Raw this week. And it feels like, okay, are you that excited about WrestleMania right now?
Not as excited as I remember being last year.
Right. And I was trying to puzzle out why that was.
And I think the stories were better, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, we had Rock and Cena on Raw every week.
Yeah, we did, at this point in time.
Which, it was infuriating, but it gave us something to talk about.
Well,
and we were still invested in the match itself.
That's the thing, is like, I was not, build up to last WrestleMania, I was not super pumped about Rock and Cena. I was not at all pumped about Taker and Triple H.
I think we were incredibly stoked about Punk and Jericho.
Yeah, I was like really excited about Punk and Jericho, but
I think we had more stories going on. We had those three. We had Laurinaitis. We had Daniel Bryan as the heavyweight champion.
Yeah. I wasn't that excited about Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
But
we also, last time around, had Cody Rhodes and Big Show. And Kane and Randy Orton.
But, I mean, like, what stories do we have right now? We have Taker and Punk. We have Cena.
We have Brock and Trips.
Brock and Triple H. That's three main storylines. We have the Shield, but we don't, like, we're just now starting to actually see what kind of match is going to happen there.
Right.
You know, and then there was some confusion with Ryback being involved, and now he's not involved, now he's with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
So now Big Show apparently is turning face, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems a lot more things are, it seems like a lot of the card is being put together a lot later than it was last year.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that we were, you know, starting to talk about, you know, cautiously seeing the praises of the actual, you know, the emergence of the new era of, like, this is the twilight years of Shawn Michaels and, you know, Triple H. DX is on its way out. Mm-hmm. Undertaker is at the end of his career. You know, and we've got these new guys
who are
coming up.
Taking
you know, course. Largely Punk, but then there's also, you know, The Shield and Johnny Curtis.
Yeah, this
these
whole
new
branch
guys
of new
that
guys,
we're
yeah.
intrigued with. And, but the build up to this WrestleMania, and I think the reason I'm not that excited about it is that it feels more than ever that all the focus is being put into these guys who are at the end of their career.
Right.
And I'm okay with that, and I get that.
Right, and this is also not a surprise to any of us.
No, it's not. And I totally understand that it's WrestleMania, you know, it's kind of your one shot. You're going to get people who tune in to WrestleMania that don't touch the product any other point in the year.
Right.
So, you know, I understand business perspective. I honestly, like, I have complaints, obviously, because I complain about it. But I do not begrudge you at all for slathering The Rock on WrestleMania as much as possible.
Right.
You know, I get it. That's fine. That's your one time. You do.
We understand the purpose of that.
Right.
That,
it totally gets necessary.
Yeah.
But the thing that really does bother me about this build-up is that so much time has been put into these guys.
Right.
And I'm talking like 6 months plus. You know, I do not think that the SummerSlam match between Triple H and Brock was agreed upon until there was an all but guarantee that this would be a rematch at Mania.
Right.
You know, I do not think that this twice in a lifetime matchup was ever far from being the guaranteed match.
Right.
If you have Rock win at 28, Cena Redemption is your first shot story. And so there's so much extended storyline in the background and behind the scenes. There's so much work on these guys who are there half the time. And there is nothing going on. There's no forethought put into the storylines and the character developments of the undercard.
Right.
You know?
And I feel like that's why we're getting... Like, first we got this extended wait for Fandango to even come out. Now we're getting an even more extended delay of him being in the ring. It's one of those things where... This is what they kind of have this idea from week to week, and they're like, okay, we're not going to do it this week. We're going to build to something else. They don't know what they're building to, but right. It's something else.
And, you know, and you kind of see that with Ryback kind of flip-flopping on where he's going to be at WrestleMania.
Right. Shot him to the moon, and now they're just not sure what they want to do with him because we have all these old-timer legend guys.
Yeah.
Who are coming back into the fold just for the season.
And you saw
a lot of guys, you know, fall between the cracks.
You saw Road Scholars break up and then get back together.
Quite, like, two or three times.
And it comes across as, do you remember in, like, fifth, sixth grade English, where, like, you had to get a partner and you would write a paragraph of a story and hand him the paper and he would write a paragraph of a story and you'd get the paper back, blah, blah, blah. That's what it feels like is happening.
I think we could write a pretty good, like, feud program for wrestling that way.
Me. Yeah, but we're on the same page.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Clearly, somebody does not care for Road Scholars.
Essentially, it's there. Like...
And every time he gets a paper, he's like, now I break them up.
It's two guys who are... Okay, it's a writing staff who only sees each other at work and probably never talks to each other at all.
Right.
So it's like, okay, here's my part. Fine, you take it. I'll work on something else.
And here's the thing. You say The Rock will be at WrestleMania, and it gets X number of people to buy it.
Right.
You really, really delve into developing The Rock as a character, developing John Cena's struggles against The Rock, developing this extended self-doubt, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Apparently getting divorced because of The Rock.
It gets the tiniest fraction of more people interested in this.
Right.
And you put all of that effort and energy into developing an interesting story for Cody Rhodes or Dolph Ziggler or Daniel Bryan.
And you keep the people who are already watching.
Yeah, you get more people interested in those people.
And that pays off for you year-round.
Right.
Because these are guys who are going to stay there.
Right.
And these are guys who's going to stay there presumably for years and years and years. So that is... essentially cashing in on your own investment.
Yeah. So the thing is, I am honestly not super bummed out that The Rock is missing Raws. Like, on a principle stance, I am.
Right.
He's the
just
champion.
Because, from that standpoint, yeah.
You know, you should be on the show every week. You're champion. You are...
But on a personal bias, like, yeah, I'm not really...
I'm not missing
him. Because for one, we got... Because here's the tightrope that they got to walk. Last year we were completely overexposed,
right?
With both of them, with both John and Rock. This year we're a little underexposed, but I can see missing 1 week fine, but he's missed two in a row. That's where it gets a little much for me,
right?
You know, we've seen the new belt when it was unveiled and when we saw it at Old School Raw. Mm-hmm. That's the only time we've seen this new belt. I mean, and again, like I made the joke to you earlier today, like, you know, we've seen other people have seen that belt on interview shows and promo shows and stuff like that more than we've seen it on actual WWE programming.
Yeah.
Which I get that attracts a certain number of audience members that wouldn't normally tune into WWE programming. But you're neglecting your base.
Yeah.
To an extent. Now, I understand this week was like the premiere of G.I. Joe or whatever. The week before that, I don't even know what the reason was, but I'm sure it was completely stupid.
Yeah.
So again, like I can understand not being here this week. But last week, it seemed ridiculous to me.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing is like, I'm honestly, I'm okay with it. It is like, you know... Especially when the biggest gaping hole in The Rock's resume of Perfect Champion is the fact that he's never there.
Right.
You know? That's the thing that always gets thrown back in his face, is he said he was back, and he's not really back.
Right.
And
then he was like, oh, you didn't understand me. I'm in, like, I'm back, you know, hypothetically, you know, I'm there in spirit kind of situation.
I mean, to be fair, it was, like, maybe a year before he came back for to host 27, mm-hmm. that I was like, he genuinely became Dwayne Johnson to me.
Right.
I was like, that's it. The Rock was his character.
Right.
And now he's, you know, he is Dwayne Johnson, because I see him in interviews with this. He is now Dwayne Johnson. He's The Rock again. Like, when I see
right.
a G.I. Joe, I'm like, look, The Rock is there.
Well, yeah, I mean,
so
it helps to have a gold strap hanging off your shoulder, too.
Right now, it
yeah.
does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I watched Fast Five starring The Rock, not starring Dwayne Johnson.
Fair enough.
Like, you know.
Yeah, but I mean,
basically,
I watched
the Dwayne Johnson movies that exist in my head are, like, The Game Plan. No, Tooth Fairy's The Rock. Tooth Fairy's The Rock.
Really?
John Cena says it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty content with Tooth Fairy being The Rock.
Do you also believe that our time is now?
Yes, your time is up.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Rundown, that stars The Rock.
Yeah, that's right.
Scorpion King stars The Rock.
Definitely.
Yeah, basically the Game Plan.
Yeah, Game Plan.
Man, Game and Be Cool. Be Cool stars Dwayne Johnson.
Okay, because
yeah.
that was a big, like, that was, like, the first big, like, deviation from The Rock character.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest with you, I thought he was hilarious.
He's amazing in that movie.
He makes that movie.
No. Well done.
Very well
Dwayne
done.
Johnson. That was a fantastic.
Be Cool gets the Class Ring Attire stamp of approval.
Dwayne Johnson in Be Cool gets the Class Ring Attire stamp of approval.
Fair enough.
Very
I,
specific chunks of that movie.
Yeah. What's that one? Well, I really dug him in Walking Tall. But again, that's a Rock.
That's The Rock.
Yeah,
he,
that's The Rock.
That's The Rock starring
Walking
Tall.
Green Iron Gang, I see that more as Dwayne Johnson because of the whole football aspect.
No, I'll give that one to Dwayne Johnson. So
I do like that movie, though. Although he is kind of a buzzkill in that movie. Because I remember one scene in particular, because if you don't remember, you know, the main coaches was Rock and then Exhibit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Exhibit was, like, the assistant coach. And there was this tinier kid. He I guess he was younger than everyone else. He couldn't actually play him in the game itself, but he was, like, their water boy. And he always, you know, kept his spirits high. He always was, like, a high-energy kid. And Exhibit was just like, oh, look at him. It's so fun to see him, you know, interact with everybody and make everyone smile. And Rock was just like, wonder if he was smiling whenever he stole this old lady's purse and shot her or something like that. I was like, what the hell? Like, Rock, Exhibit was having a touching moment. And you're like, oh, yeah, remember when he wasn't so nice? Remember when he was a delinquent and he murdered people? And there was like two or three moments from that movie that was exactly like that, where Rock just was like that constant reminder that these kids were criminals once.
You remember so much more about Gridiron Gang than I do.
I watched it twice.
You watched Gridiron Gang 100% more than me. I watched Gridiron Gang once.
Why? Well, I
maybe
I
on TV. I'm not even sure if I saw the whole thing.
I dug it.
I liked it fine. No,
yeah.
If you haven't seen Gridiron Gang.
Gridiron Gang,
The
Walking Tall was probably, like, his best, like,
oh,
dramatic.
Dramatic, maybe. No, his best is The Rundown. Far and away.
That one, well, that one, I don't see that one as straight up drama. That was, like,
no, that's
mixing,
an action movie.
Yeah, mixing drama, action, and comedy a little bit.
Like, okay, as drama, because he doesn't do a lot of drama.
I thought more so drama with Gridiron Gang. A little bit of Walking Tall definitely has a mix of action
yeah.
and everything.
But the best movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson in whatever is absolutely Rundown.
Yeah.
Rundown, then probably Fast Five.
Him and Sean William Scott, they
worked together.
They really worked together.
Well done. Can you imagine trying to tell 1999 Chris Sanders that Stifler from American Pie and The Rock, WWF champion,
right.
were gonna be in an amazing movie?
I wouldn't believe you. And two, like, that wouldn't even be the only movie that they, you know, played well off of. We also have, it was a really weird movie. It was like the end of the world.
Oh, Southland Tales!
Southland Tales! I forgot
that movie existed.
Both of those were in there, too.
You're right.
That scene in the police car, I think.
They are totally in that movie.
And they played well off that one, too.
Right. I haven't seen that movie, but...
It's a good one. Like,
I bought it a long time ago.
Of course you bought it. You never watched it. Let me guess, it was $3?
It was exactly $3!
How did you know that?
Because I know you. I made exactly $3 for Southland Tales.
I know you, like... Okay, you always buy movies, never watch it, and two... I know that you'll always remember exactly how much it was.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed Southland Tales. It has everybody in that movie. Got him, Sean William Scott.
Buffy's in it. I don't know. Those three are on the cover, and that's all
I've seen. Justin Timberlake's in it. He's the narrator.
All right.
Because he has that one moment where he's kind of lip syncing to a killer song. It's pretty cool.
I dig that movie.
And there's like a ton of other people, and it's okay. So.
What?
Now that we're talking about Rocky movies, I did ask this question amongst my friends this week, and it's got a good tie-in with
Professor Eggman. I was saving my answer for this very occasion.
It was said over the past week in an interview that Rock really, really wants to be in the new Star Wars movie. Okay, this hits home for me and Joel because A, we're really big wrestling fans, and B, more importantly, we're huge Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
And so this was a weird moment because we saw the internet, like, just divide straight in half at this moment of people like, no, you don't go anywhere near my Star Wars, or people like, oh, that would be so awesome, like, non-Star Wars fans really getting into it because it's The Rock. How do you feel about it as a wrestling fan, as a Star Wars fan? And what do you think he could pull?
Okay, first of all, you also, like, mentioned, like, you know, in the books, you know, because that you hadn't read, was there a
right. great way? I'm not as familiar as with the books as I am with the movies, so I'm not sure exactly what kind of character he's playing.
I highly, highly doubt, to go Star Wars for a minute on this wrestling podcast, I highly doubt that those books are going to have any effect
on
the movies. I do not think that that Disney paid $4 billion for this franchise with the stipulation that you have to stick to this official fan fiction.
Essentially,
so,
yeah.
You know, so I think there's a totally new story for 789, which means The Rock could play anybody.
Right.
But
the question now is, do you think Rock has a place in Star Wars?
I am pretty solidly, because, you know, I obviously have complained about The Rock a lot on the podcast.
Yes.
But especially as his, like, charisma as a movie star, I kind of feel like The Rock gets to do whatever he wants.
Right.
And I'm going to be okay with it. I really dug, like, Journey to the Mysterious Island, because The Rock was so charming in that movie.
I never watched it. I don't have any ill feelings about it. Can't be any worse than the first one. I didn't watch that one either.
Oh. No, it's probably better than the first one.
Fair enough.
I watch, you know, The Rock...
Wait, Brendan Fraser was in the first one, right?
Brendan Fraser was in it.
Okay, so we're saying The Rock has more charisma than Brendan Fraser, and I don't think that is... a very shocking statement, Mr. You know.
Okay.
Clap.
To be totally fair, in The Mummy Returns, starring both Brendan Fraser and The Rock, Brendan Fraser had more charisma than weird CGI scorpion, half The Rock monster that The Rock played at the end of that movie.
Was that at the end? I never watched the end of that.
Oh yeah, no.
I only saw the first part where he died. He's like, okay, I've seen what I need to see. Bye-bye.
You've seen The Rock. You've seen The Mummy Returns is amazing. Go watch The Mummy Returns. He revives the Scorpion King and he comes out, but it's like a scorpion centaur basically. So The Rock is like the top half, and he has like this scorpion leg tail combo thing coming out of his waist. So, but it's 2001 CGI.
Right.
So it's not so great.
Fair enough.
But my point is that The Rock is so charming and so entertaining. He's like the male version of Jennifer Lawrence, where you can't really hate him. Like, he's so good in interviews. He's so likable. He's so much fun on the screen. You just end up liking him.
I completely checked out as soon as you said Jennifer Lawrence.
Because you were thinking about Jennifer Lawrence?
Because I'm thinking about Jennifer Lawrence.
Fair enough. Really, I equate it to, like... You know, when I, quote-unquote, come out as a wrestling fan to people,
Interesting choice of words, but okay.
You know what I mean.
But I understand exactly what you're talking about.
You understand. You understand, like, sitting around with people who you only kind of know, and you're like, so, I heard that Rock is champion again. Isn't that interesting? So, right. What do you think about... And, you know, you gotta, like, test right. out the waters.
Like, yeah, because especially when, you know...
Is anybody here a sexy boy? Just a boy toy?
Okay. Nowadays, I think it's a little bit more okay to admit in public that you are a wrestling fan nowadays, because we live in a society where fringe cultures and quote-unquote geek culture or whatever is at the mainstream now.
Yeah.
And so pretty much, and with, you know, with internet, you have access to everything, so everyone has their own, you know, quirks and, or, you know, tiny things that most people wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's a little bit more accepting to come out as a wrestling fan, but I'm not quite there yet. You still gotta test the waters. And maybe that's just us, like, hanging on to that old stigma of, like, oh, God, I will come off as a complete, just toothless redneck bum if I admit that I'm a wrestling fan.
And the thing is, you know, but the people who are not wrestling fans that I come out to that, you know, instantly be like, oh, you mean redneck ballet, blah, 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 that have that response, I'm like, they have never once even considered it right. as a viable entertainment option.
Right. And to be honest with you, we're getting that reaction less and less these days.
Yeah. And it's a thing where...
I couldn't even tell you the last time I got that reaction from somebody that wasn't a wrestling fan that I told.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
It's, you know, it's a thing where everyone who, I'm not saying that you'd like it if you give it a chance, right. but I think you'd understand why it's a genuinely popular thing. Like, right. we have several friends who don't watch wrestling at all, but will totally sit down with us and watch it if it's on, because
right.
they understand how it's entertaining, they're entertained enough by it, and I'm not asking
that. And a lot of these people that we do that with, they did the same thing with us in college, just because it was an excuse for us all to hang out.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
And that's what it is now. Like, we have this whole big weekend planned for WrestleMania this year involving a bunch of our friends that never really watch wrestling except for WrestleMania every year. And essentially, it's an excuse between birthdays and holidays to all get together.
To make an event.
And, you know, go laser tagging.
Yeah. But that's kind of how I feel about The Rock being in stuff. Being in Star Wars specifically, I feel like those who are instantly adamantly against it just haven't been around The Rock enough. Haven't seen enough of The Rock.
Because right.
I can't dislike The Rock.
I think the only people that are completely and violently against this are the ones who they know what they like and they want it all. What they want, what they like, to always stay the same.
Yeah.
It's the same people that completely write off the prequels.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's one of those things where you love what you love, sickness and all, you gotta accept everything about it.
Yeah.
Essentially. If you're going to be a giant fan. You can't be a giant fan of just one half of it and completely ignore the rest of it. And call yourself a devout fan.
Yeah. I mean... If
yes, there's parts where we can all admit it's terrible, but
if we were
don't ignore
to
it.
Totally, you know, have a printed statement that was like Katie Vick scenario non-canon, I'd be like, yeah, I stand by that statement. this is not one of the warts and all that I wish to love of my wrestling fandom.
Fair enough.
But at the same time, Kane just saying the name Katie Vick in the like.
That recap of this,
yeah. Trailer. Why he's so angry? Almost worth it.
Yeah, and especially the payoff of seeing Mae Young's hand.
Yeah, because I wasn't watching live when those two situations happened.
Right.
I kind of learned about them away from the TV. People told me what had happened,
right.
and then like some after
the kind of the same feeling we all had whenever we were shown Remember we were shown that Hall of Fame package for Booker T, and you saw, you know, Hulk Hogan, I'm coming for you, cut.
That was an awkward cut.
Right. And yet it's one of those things where, like, you know everyone in editing, everyone in the video package department, everyone backstage is laughing their butts off because they know they're in on the joke, too. Like, you think that we're the only ones that laugh at that stuff? You know no. they're the ones.
They no, that's, that, that's in there because somebody made a bet with somebody.
Exactly. But, like, I bet you that... You'll never put that into his video package. And they're like, watch me now.
Yep. So
all that is to be, all that we just went through is simply just to say, yes, you're okay with The Rock being in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Me too. I don't know what he'll play. I think that they can find, they're Star Wars is bought out by Disney. Rock's had a great relationship with Disney in the past.
Yeah.
And this is a way for him to still be an action hero,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, kid-friendly kind of thing.
Right.
Because I know he usually likes to stick to that, kind of. Yeah. Although the past couple movies, he's kind of gotten away from it a little bit.
Oh, Drive? Or, well, not Drive, what?
Drive, we got G.I. Joe.
What was that movie called?
Snitch, we got...
Driver? Fat. Was it called Driver? Fat? What was the one where he...
Oh, yeah, it wasn't Drive. Because
Drive's the serious, important, critically acclaimed one with Ryan Gosling.
You're absolutely
What's
right.
the one where The Rock just...
Faster.
She kills it. Faster.
That's actually, I actually dug that movie.
I dug that movie, too. I mean, that's exactly what it needed to be. It's like...
Have you ever watched a Rock movie that you just completely hated?
No.
Me neither.
That's why I'm saying, like...
But then again, I've never seen Tooth Fairy. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it is. I can't say this.
It's not a good movie, but I didn't hate it. And The Rock is the reason why I didn't hate it.
See, like, because I can just... say the same... I cannot say the same thing for about Vin Diesel.
I did not like Triple X.
I didn't either. I thought it was boring.
Yeah, like, I really did not like Triple X.
So. Pacifier, and it wasn't...
I was okay with Pacifier, but...
See, that's the thing, like, what other action hero... That's in the movies these days. That's prominent now. Like, I'm not talking about Schwarzenegger and Stallone still doing Expendables or anything like that. I mean, you know, legit guys that's being pushed as action heroes today. Jason Statham.
Statham is actually in Transporter 43. This time it's in a bank or whatever.
Right.
Like, all his movies, which I'm okay with.
Essentially Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Schwarzenegger, like, he was the same guy. That's Clooney into an extent, too. Like,
Clooney?
Not in that action hero, but I mean, like, he plays the same character in all of the movie.
A gorgeous man who has slight problems
yes.
with his life?
Yes. A gorgeous man with total white person problems.
All right. Actually, fair enough.
See? Bam.
But the thing is, with The Rock, like, he's in bad movies, but I don't dislike the movies, and I definitely don't dislike The Rock.
Right.
And every franchise he's come into, he's made better. Journey 2, better than Journey 1. Mm-hmm. Fast 5, better than Fast 1 through 4.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Fast 1 and 2 was pretty fantastic.
Fast 2 was terrible.
What?
Fast 2 was atrocious.
Too Fast, Too Furious was awesome.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
I totally dug it.
No, because...
I haven't watched it in a while, so maybe it won't hold up, but I remember when I saw it, I just thought it was incredible.
No. Here's the big problem with Too Fast, Too Furious. It's so glaringly obvious that they couldn't pay Vin Diesel's new check. Because there's a point in the movie where the guy leans, they catch Paul Walker, and he leans over and he's like, all right, Paul Walker, we're going to give you a pardon, but, you know, you have to go and do this thing for us. You could also pick one more criminal friend who you might have done crime with in the past, maybe one movie ago, and you can get him a pardon too. And Paul Walker's like, I have just the guy. My best friend Tyrese Gibson, who you've never heard of before. You're like, no! Save Vin Diesel, Paul Walker! And that was so clearly for him to go and get Vin Diesel. But Vin Diesel's like, excuse me, I'd like a little bit more money. And they're like, no, we're gonna get this guy. It's so glaringly obvious.
Fair enough.
It ruins the whole movie for me.
I don't know. I still dug it.
It is definitely better than Tokyo Drift. But it is...
I had bowel movements better than...
It is the fourth worst Fast and the Furious. And Fast 5 is easily the best Fast and the Furious.
The fourth one, just, nah. Like, it was, like, everyone had all this excitement that Diesel was back.
Yeah.
And it just fell flat in his face.
I will say, a lot of my appreciation for the fourth one is, like, just like, this is more Fast and the Furious.
Right.
Especially because, like, watching Tokyo Drift, like, well, this franchise is over.
Right. And then all of a sudden, it got that, you
know. Oh, let's actually make it now.
Right.
So,
And Fast 5 was pretty awesome.
Fast 5 is pretty awesome. And I am willing to bet that G.I. Joe 2 is going to be better than G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I mean,
even though
it's kind of a, you know, a very low bar to hop over.
Low bar to hop over. First one was pretty atrocious. Usually movies that get delayed for like an entire year, usually things don't bode well for it.
They don't. But I think this one was very specifically delayed for an entire year to squeeze in some more Duke Devlin.
Who?
Magic Mike.
Oh, okay. I get that reference. Duke Devlin? Who's Duke Devlin?
Duke is his name in the movie.
Magic Mike?
No, in G.I. Joe.
Oh.
His name is Duke.
I can tell I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan.
Duke Devlin is actually a character from Yu-Gi-Oh! But I really like the alliteration of Duke Devlin. So I always called him Duke Devlin as a kid.
Oh. Okay.
So, to be fair, you wouldn't necessarily get Duke Devlin means change.
Either way, like I didn't really like G.I. Joe, and I don't understand the references that you make because I like sports.
Because they're really convoluted. You had to both know that his name was Duke in this movie, know that there was a different character in a different franchise from a different country named Duke Devlin, who is in no way a real American hero.
Or has anything to do with G.I. Joe at all.
At all. So fair enough, there's no reason you should get that.
Oh my god. Lord. Okay.
But my point is that there's a very good chance that the main reason that they delayed this movie was to
It was pretty well documented that it was just because they wanted to capitalize off the success of Magic Mike, so they threw in some more Channing Tatum, which I'm okay with because after seeing 21 Jump Street,
pretty okay
the
with
guy has pretty good timing. I'll give him that.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that movie in particular a lot more than
right.
I should have.
So
yeah, G.I. Joe, by all means, it could be a lot better.
I mean, you know,
I'll probably end up watching it just because The Rock's in it, and I feel like some sort of duty to this podcast to watch it. Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know, The Rock definitely has his pick of scripts now. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have to take everything that comes across his desk. He picked G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So did Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
So, although...
And he picked Snitch, and that wasn't necessarily going to be... that wasn't big budget by any means. That was, from my understanding, it was an independently written and independently financed until distribution.
Right.
From what I understand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that alone, like, tells you that he'll pick whatever he wants these days.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess we have to wait and see, but I
am not looking forward to that, the Michael Bay movie he's doing.
Pain and Gain?
I'm not looking forward to that at all. That looks like the dumbest. Like, it's an action movie about two guys who just left.
Yeah.
It's like...
I don't know.
Come on. Like, it's going to be a two-hour movie with giant explosions and lifting weights.
If we get off on my explanation as to why Michael Bay is one of the greatest working directors today, then we are already treading like the thinnest of waters.
So you're standing in a puddle of water.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say? We're standing in a puddle of water.
I'm saying we are hanging on to the very topic of this podcast, wrestling, by the thinnest of hairs at this point. And if I tried to explain to you why Michael Bay was an amazing director,
that's for a different podcast.
We have definitely just left the realm of wrestling. But one final thing that I have to say before we finally change subjects is that The Rock was really good in The Other Guys.
Yes, he was really. I completely forgot about that.
I know, right?
And you know, he works well with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
I'll give him that.
So,
I dug The Other Guys a lot more than I thought I was going to be.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
me too.
So,
but let's move on to talk about wrestling.
That's absurd. How dare you?
If you're
how up for it, dare you?
No, sir. No pressure. All
right,
but the other big news, and you can't see it, but I'm doing quotation marks around big with my fingers.
No, he's not. He's lying to
imply
you.
That he's it's lying. Not actually big news, is the added stipulation for Brock Lesnar and Triple H's match. Meaning that Triple H is basically coming out of retirement to be in a retirement match.
Yes.
So, I saw you post on Twitter that this all but guarantees Brock's victory.
Kinda, I guess. Like, that was just me, just, that was my initial reaction just from hearing the news. Not even thinking about the fact that, you know, he lost back in SummerSlam, so this would be kind of his redemption.
Right.
Whatever. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like Triple H is going to be having many more matches anyway.
Right.
So, why, might as well use the stipulation to have him.
I can totally see that. I can really see Triple H looking at his good buddy Shawn Michaels, you know, losing twice to the same guy retirement story and being like, that was gorgeous. I want one.
Right.
And so he'll lose twice to Bork. And, but at the same time, I feel like Triple H is so tied in with this company. He is there for life. He will always be present. And if ever the company is waning, his music will get a giant pop and a giant surge of interest in whatever story he's in. I think it is too tempting to stick Triple H when you need it to ever be like, Triple H has retired from in-ring action.
Right.
I think he will be like Ric Flair levels of coming back to the ring.
Right.
You know, I don't know if they are plan. I don't know if they're trying to get a retirement, you know, career-threatening match kind of reaction for this. To be like, yes, this is his final swan song. If it is, if this is supposed to be a swan song, I hope it's better than SummerSlam.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I cannot imagine, and this is not even, like, in a Triple H always, you know, ups himself and buries everybody else situation, but even adding that on, that if Triple H was in a retirement match, that would not close out the show.
Yeah.
And it is possibly, Triple H versus Brock is possibly the third most important match on this.
Right. You would think that would be a little bit bigger reveal. I mean,
twice in a lifetime obviously has to close out the show. It has The Rock and the championship in it.
Yeah.
And the only thing bigger than the championship, as we saw last year, was The Rock. So
now he's got both
of them. Now that it's both of them, there's nothing that should compete with The Rock.
So does this mean we're going to get a full-on Flo Rida concert again?
I hope not.
With like four songs?
I don't need music. I don't buy wrestling DVDs because I enjoyed the concert aspect.
True. Yeah.
I've never bought a new one. I've never seen something that's like, oh wow, look at that song that's stalling all this action. I need to own that on a disc so I can watch it whenever I want.
Because I'm coming home,
no.
Tell the world
no.
I'm coming Stop home.
It. Stop it. I have to hear that enough from
hey,
the TV.
Aren't you driving home after we get done with this podcast? You're coming home. You're coming home.
I'm going home.
Same thing, whatever.
So, yeah, you can't say that. There's also, I guess, worth pointing out that I assume Brock's career is not on the line. I assume this is not a loser leaves
yeah,
town match.
Yeah,
this
like, is, it's one of those things where that's the stipulation, fine, but it works better when the other guy has something to lose to.
Yeah.
I don't know what he would lose because he obviously isn't going to be going anywhere.
I mean, we know that he signed a 2-more-year contract.
Right.
So, that was the first thought when they said, I was like, oh, well, I know Brock's going to be there 2 more years, so that's a guaranteed loss for Trips.
Right.
But it's, okay,
but
if it's not technically, if it's just Triple H's career on the line.
Right.
So, this doesn't do a whole lot more to excite me for this match.
No, me neither.
So, what we have right now is 3 really big, important matches.
And really nothing else with any kind of meat to it.
And minimal excitement for those 3 matches.
Right.
So, my question for the day for you is take each one of those matches And how would you book the next, what do we have, three Raws left? Two Raws? Three Raws left. So, I guess, one a week. What would you do to oyster up any kind of excitement for those matches?
Weekend at Sheamus's. Well, having Rock show up would be nice.
Okay.
Introduce some sort of stipulation for what would happen if Lesnar loses. I don't know what that would be. I don't know if they would kick out Heyman or... Okay. Or what they possibly could do. But having Brock's career on the line, too, seems kind of like a cop-out. They need to find something else. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Again, I have no idea what that is. With Punk and Taker, that one's gaining interest, I feel. You know?
I feel like I'm excited about, like, I'm removed from actual, like, gut excitement about it. I'm, like, excited about it on an intellectual level. I'm like, right. Yes, I understand how this is working as a feud.
Yes, yes.
You know? So it's like,
Because we're actually seeing some kind of character building.
Yeah.
In the realm of this feud.
Well, first of all, I know this is going to be an amazing match.
Right. You know? We're fully expecting probably match of the night with these guys.
Probably match of the year with these guys. Undertaker has to wrestle once a year, and it's going to be against Punk.
Right.
I will be stunned if this is not match. I will be stunned if it's not match of the year. I'll be stunned if it's not match of the year contender.
Right. I don't know if they're going to add any kind of stipulation to it. I'm kind of okay with just leaving the match as is without stipulations or anything.
Yeah.
Story here seems to be the big meaty part right now, because we already know that the match is taken care of. We know what we're going to get. Punk is going to be taking some time out of the ring just to make sure he doesn't get, because he's a little banged up, so. Yeah. He's going to heal up a little bit to make sure he's closer to 100%.
And obviously, the Punk Taker is the story I would touch the least out of the two of them.
Oh,
yeah. If I were to make any adjustments to it, I would do something to try and increase the idea that Punk might win. Because right now, Punk is a heel, and he is, you know, a far and away terrible human being heel level right now. He is doing things that you need to pay money to see him get punished for his actions.
Right.
Just because you need to see him defeated so badly.
Right.
You know, so that is the storyline that where the comeuppance will be at WrestleMania, where Punk will be punished for his disrespect of Paul Bearer.
Right. But we also need that intrigue of maybe that not isn't exactly what's going to happen. Maybe it'll be more down the middle. Maybe you'll see Punk actually kind of dominate the whether or not he wins, we don't know, but you know, maybe we'll see Punk be the one who is kind of, you know, inflicting his will, you know, in the ring or whatever.
Yeah. So I would like something,
because right now, like, you don't really get that. Like, you know, like you were saying, like, where Punk is just being this terrible human being character. And Taker, he's just angry about it, you know.
Yeah.
He's not in one. He doesn't appear at all worried that he's going to lose.
Right. So,
But then again, like, Taker's not really going to look worried at all. Like, that's not his character.
That's not Taker's character. Right. I don't need Taker to be worried. I need me to be worried.
Right.
Me, the metaphorical audience. I mean, they had that last year.
Right.
With the, you know, Taker was the weaker of the two.
Right.
And so he was the one. The underdog,
he was the one who was wanting to have the match happen. Because usually it was always the other way around. Usually, whoever wanted to challenge him, he would be like, alright, or no. It would be more like, whoever wants to challenge him, he'll be like, no, not really. And then next week, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know.
So.
But that year, it was the opposite.
Right.
And again, like, this might be something that they will just build on as we go. Because, I mean, it's one of those things where I reminded of the first, leading up to the first Shawn Michaels Taker.
Mm-hmm.
And their promos just seemed to escalate more and more dramatically. Like, it was, you know, a little bit less goofy Shawn, a little bit more serious Shawn,
yeah,
as we got closer. So maybe we're going to get a little bit of that, or we're just going to get a, you know, continuation of what already's happening.
Honestly,
I just feel like this is going to
be something that escalates. The match that's doing that the best for me is Cena and Rock, where, you know, the stuff that they're using, the, you know, the history that they built up and the way the promos are working, I could see it going either way. Right. Now, stepping outside the box, I'm like, it's time for John to, you know, finally get that torch passed to him. It's time for the comeuppance. Rock can't keep the belt because he keeps taking it on field trips.
Yep.
However, also, you know, Rock has been scheduled for the next pay-per-view.
I heard somewhere that wasn't the case anymore. Like, he's not being advertised anymore.
Oh, really?
I
heard he was still being advertised, although, obviously, it could just be the rematch clause.
Could be the rematch clause. It could just be, you know, them advertising ahead of time, just offers presumed cards.
Yeah.
You know, just to get fans to buy tickets now.
And to try and not get the, have that, you know, mess up, spoil the planned outcome for WrestleMania.
Right. And again, like, those type of things rarely ever actually, you know, play out like they advertise.
Right. Wise card is subject to change. Always subject to change. The way, however, I think the best way to get that, to really get me invested in that story, I'm going back to, and I don't remember, it was one time that Rock faced Stone Cold at WrestleMania, and I don't remember which one it was, but it was like the Raw before, where they, one of them was out, I think it was Rock was out, you know, cutting whatever his phone problem was, and Stone Cold just came out and started wailing on him.
Right.
And they could not, like, the locker room poured trying to keep those two guys apart. And that right. was just, you know, there was just such genuine hatred there where they could not wait until WrestleMania.
Right.
And the build-up was really good because the build-up had this emphasis on how important WrestleMania is and how important this right. match at WrestleMania is. But there was such genuine hatred for each other.
For the feud, yeah.
That they needed to hurt each other that moment. And I really, I want that exact same thing to happen, basically. On a good...
Yeah, like, right now it's too much mutual respect going on.
Yeah,
right
now I need like a 10-minute fight. Just these guys trying to hurt each other.
Right.
Just to kind of get that, you know, dog on a leash aspect for the beginning, for WrestleMania. I want to see these guys go at each other.
Right.
And I really, that's, you know, that's kind of the only thing I can think of that would get me interested in Rock and Cena.
Right, some actual emotion.
Yeah.
Would be really nice.
And, you know, all the emotion right now is focused on self-doubt and slam poetry.
Well, yeah, with Cena, it's self-doubt. Rock, I essentially, like, we've gotten a little bit too much, by golly, it's just good to be here, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, oh, it's a good, big match. I'm just wonderful to be a part of it, like, you've gotten too much of that in the past. We need some actual emotional connection. We need
I need
something.
I think I've said it before. I would like to see Rock turn heel again.
Love that.
Just because he's best as a heel. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's his heel persona that makes him a face.
Right. Because, I mean, otherwise, how do you expect the people to get really behind a Cena win? Here.
Right.
You know, Cena gets such a mixed reaction from the two of them anyway.
Right.
How do you expect how do you expect him to be over as a face whenever he does win?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the fact that he's going against The Rock alone is, it's going to polarize the crowd just by that aspect.
Yeah. And finally, for Mr. Brock and Mr. Triple H. I've said it before. I am interested in this match. I was a lot more interested in this match when they had Vince and Paul in their corners.
Right.
And this could skew the, you know, storyline that you want to tell, but whatever. I don't care. Put the ownership of the company on the line.
Right.
And
to be honest with you, I'm surprised they decided not to go down that route.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, that's a lot more interesting to me.
Yeah.
Than Triple H, again, having self-doubt because he lost last time.
Right.
So, them's my picks.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, maybe something will happen next week.
Which is what we said last week.
And, you know, well, hopefully they start actually getting, and to be fair, they actually did kind of build up a little bit of the mid-card for the show, and we didn't even talk about it.
Yeah. But I dug Fandango's entrance, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. It was different.
What I would like from next week, that would get me interested, is a lot of Jericho and Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's looking like that might be the match for WrestleMania, so I like.
Yeah, because that's one of the things I've been wondering, like, what are they going to do with Jericho at WrestleMania? That's obviously the reason why he came back in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do with him? And there's a connection there because Chris Jericho did Dancing with the Stars, so, I mean, how come they haven't played that up yet?
Yeah, how come they haven't played that up yet?
I thought of that, like, last night.
That did not occur to me, but yeah. No, fair enough. How have they not done that? I assume that the Bella Twins will be at WrestleMania.
Right. With Rhodes Scholars.
There is some circulating information that part of their returning contract is that they would have a match at WrestleMania. And so,
I did not know that they were a big get for WrestleMania. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how much sway they all have had.
And the last thing they did at WrestleMania was they were the announcers for Team Teddy and Team Johnny last year.
They were, weren't they?
That was, you know, I mean, so it's not like,
how have we not had a Bella versus Bella fight?
Because we can't tell them apart.
Yes, we can.
I don't know. Some people argue that maybe the other one got a surgical enhancement.
I feel like we've had this argument before.
No, I mean, like, I think, No. We argue over which one had one and which one, if that
which one was dating. Scene. Yeah.
Turns out the one that did get the was.
Okay.
So yeah, I was right.
All right, fair enough.
I wasn't trying to try to hit the point on. It was Nathan, I believe. We were talking on online.
Yeah. Shout out to Nathan.
Shout out Nathan. What's up? That was way too gangster than I was expecting.
Thanks. Our truth.
What's up? He kind of both thought that both of them got one. Now, like, he knows like one of them originally. Yeah. He thinks the other one got one because he watched and he was like, "It looks like both of them have it."
I still can't tell them apart on the TV, honestly.
Right.
In still pictures, I can, or I have been able to. Maybe I am just not looking at the most recent still pictures.
Right.
But again, I'm not actively searching it out.
No. I mean, probably could figure this out if I cared.
Yeah, fair enough. My point is, how much sudden sway do you think the Bellas might have because Cena, they're Yoko Ono-ing Cena?
They're Yoko Ono-ing Cena? What are you talking about?
I'm saying Cena going in and being like, "Hey guys, I really think my girlfriend should be in a match."
I don't know. Do you think that they were together before they left the company? Because I know they left the company with, you know, good standing.
Yeah. I don't know the aspects of the Bellas.
Me either. But you're the one that proposed that idea.
I do think they'll be in a match at WrestleMania.
Probably.
They're the only divas that are on TV right now. Them and Caitlyn in this
fight
for Cody's mustache.
Yeah, but that means Kayla would need some sort of person in her corner.
I'm sure she'll get a person in her corner.
Like, they kind of had her with
It'll
Bella,
probably be Alicia Fox. Because she is the standard fill-in when they need somebody.
Face or heel.
Face or heel. She's the most down-the-middle superstar in the company right now.
And she's also the most tenured diva that they have on roster.
Is she seriously?
I believe so, yeah. It's either her or Layla, and I think she's definitely been there longer than Layla.
That's definitely possible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know, is Mae Young still? She still comes out sometimes.
She's under a Legends contract. She's not active roster.
Right, fair enough. Alright, fine. Well done, Alicia Fox. Snuck that one in under the radar.
Yes, I'm pretty sure she feels victorious as she's, you know, spending another week not on...
Yeah, she's kind of JTG in it, but...
Well, I mean, well, okay, she did do that tour that they featured on Raw this week, the malaria, nothing but nets thing.
Right.
So, I mean, that was
No, she does a lot of ambassador work for the company.
Absolutely.
So...
Although she did have that one, it was a ring attire, looked like it was some sort of, like, Naval Academy suit, but, like, you know, skippied up.
Yeah.
I sat back and I was like, that's borderline treasonous, probably. I'm okay with it, but still.
All right, fair enough.
It was a girl in a skimpy sailor suit. Girl in a skimpy
sailor suit. Golly, you cannot do this even a little bit. A girl in a skimpy sailor suit? Scully, Chris... This is creaking crazy. Golsky Skrulls and Skippy Scaler Scoots.
Scruck you.
As always, you should follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We will be live tweeting every Monday and appropriate Sundays. One of those appropriate Sundays will be WrestleMania. We'll be live tweeting WrestleMania.
Matter of fact, we probably will both be live tweeting on the same account.
It will be amazing.
And we were fumbling all over each other.
Watch us argue with ourselves and probably post the same jokes twice.
It'll be a race to who can post it first.
Yes.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you have your hate mail, send it all to our email. It's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com. Look us up there for old episodes of this podcast.
And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, we are on iTunes. Look us up on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rating on iTunes.
5 stars.
It'd be awesome. Great for you. Great for the podcast. Probably give you better hair.
5 stars for those who don't have SAP.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.